In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ's parables are often misunderstood, even by those within the church. Most view them as earthly stories teaching us some higher heavenly wisdom. They think these stories are meant to more clearly define who God is for us by relating him to us in human terms. That way we can more easily relate to him and see just how similar he is to what we see every day out in our life. You see, sinners just refuse to let God be God. They're constantly trying to bring him down to our level to make him more palatable to us. The purpose of Jesus' parables is not to make things more clear, but really to make things hidden. He tells parables to hide eternal truths, Jesus himself says. The knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. This is why I speak in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Parables need to be explained. And if we're honest, we must admit that these parables do not operate the way that life on earth operates. They're different. And so instead of showing us clearly how God is like us, the parables really show us how different God is from us, how different eternal things are from life here on earth, how different God's kingdom is from earthly kingdoms. Or to say it simply, the parables surprise us. When this is understood, then this parable of the shrewd steward is pretty easy to understand as well. The surprising part is not what the steward himself did, but it's what the master did. So the focus of this parable is not on the steward, but it is on the master. Listen again. The steward was wasting his master's possessions. The master owned the land, and he rented it out via contracts to renters. It was their job to work the land and take care of it, and in return, they would pay the master whatever the master thought was right, 1,000 bushels of wheat, for example. That was a yearly tax on the land. It was in their contract. The steward was a man of great authority, second only to the master himself. Whatever he did was seen as being done by the master himself. And so it reflected very poorly on the master when the steward was wasting possessions. Was the landowner also wasteful? Did he also only care about his own finances, making a few dollars regardless? Was he also greedy and selfish? Did he care at all for his renters? So the master called in the dishonest steward, the wasteful steward. He had abused his authority, and now he must give an account. Give an account of your management, the master says, for you cannot be manager any longer. And yet from even these words, we begin to learn about the character of the master. He could have thrown him in prison right then and there. That would have been fair and just, and no one would have complained about it. But he didn't. He's patient. He's merciful. He grants him a little bit of time so he can go get the books. Not because the steward asked for it, but he grants him time because this master is completely different from CEOs, owners, presidents, kings. He's different from you and from me. He's willing to put off justice for a moment so the steward can go get the very books that he manipulated. It seems absurd. Why not at the very least send someone along to accompany him? Because God is not like you, and God is not like any human authority either. Yes, he is just, but he is also extremely patient, so that he might show mercy to everyone. The steward could not argue with what he had been accused of. He knew it was true. So now he's out of a job, out of money. And very shortly, he'll be out on the streets, unable to take care of his home. He can't dig, he's not strong enough. He can't beg, for he was a man of great authority, and begging is beneath him. You see what dire straits this man is in. He can't help himself. He can't change his situation. He can't save himself. And if something quickly doesn't change in his life, then he will end up on the roadside dead. But then he remembered that his master is merciful. And he stakes everything, his entire existence, on his master's mercy. He goes to those renters, the debtors, and he reduces their debt. This was not the one-time payment, but this is their contract. He changes it. And the renters see this as coming from the master himself. For if they knew that this steward had already been fired, they would not have entered into such an agreement, only to bring the wrath of the master upon themselves. So this fits very much in line with who they think the master is. He is kind, he is merciful, he is gracious, he is generous. He gives things and never expects anything in return, so drastically slashing their payments fits with his character. It also fits with what the steward knows about the master as well, that he wants to give away his blessings for nothing. And the master is true to his mercy. He commends the unjust steward for acting shrewdly. The law said those contracts should not stand. They are null and void. Everyone would agree on that. That is fair, that is just, that is right. But now if the master undid them, he would no longer be viewed as merciful, kind, and gracious. So he leaves them in place. And now you see how vastly different this master is from any other kind of earthly authority. He's not a master just simply so he can make a few extra bucks. It's not about making his life more cozy so he can have an easier retirement or something else. He didn't even want interest or even to break even. He desired to be merciful and to give away great blessings without cost. And so he is finally pleased when the steward carries out his will by showing mercy. The world operates by justice, what is right and what is wrong. God operates by mercy. The world gives what is fair, so well-behaved children receive extra freedoms. Good citizens should not have to worry about tickets or the police. Better workers should get paid more. The world operates by justice, what is fair, what is right. God operates by mercy. He gives what is unfair, life to murderers, freedom to rebels, peace and security to those who fought against him and wanted nothing to do with him. Now, the world is not sinning by living by justice. God structured it to do so, so we could have peace and security in this life. No business could stand if it operated as this landowner operated. No country could survive if it simply pardoned every criminal regardless of their crimes. No family could survive, and no child would ever learn discipline if discipline and punishment were withheld. The world must operate by justice, but God's kingdom is not of this world. So he gives away his blessings for nothing. He gives away the kingdom for free. He forgives the murderers and the rapists. He gives life, peace, and security to rebels, to us who fought against him. For he has sacrificed his beloved son, so that we who hated him and despised him and wanted nothing to do with him might be welcomed into his eternal home. The parable highlights the mercy of the master, the mercy of God for us. For we have wasted our master's possessions, the gifts and talents, the money and material things that he has given to us, if in no other way than simply only trying to keep them for ourselves and not generously giving to others. And someday God will call us in to give an account of our management, of each and everything that we did throughout our life. And what he says is always true. So you see just how dire our situation is. We can't dig our way out of hell. We're not strong enough. We can't beg others to help us, for who can help us get out of hell? And once we realize that, then we also, like this steward, will stake everything on our master's mercy. We will throw ourselves onto him, trusting that he will be merciful to us. So our Lord is not advocating dishonesty, of course. We can't deceive him, so there's no need to even try, because he is different from earthly authorities. He is different from you and from me. He wants to simply give us the kingdom without cost. And he can, because Christ has made a full punishment payment for our sins. And now he comes to us in blessed bread and wine, not simply to give us blessings or to reduce our debt by half, but to mark paid in full. Nothing is owed by you. We get the master's land for free, without any work or merit on our part, and not simply as renters, but as his beloved sons and daughters, heirs of heaven. We get the joys and blessings because of Christ and what he has done for us. That does not mean we get to be lazy and just sit around and do nothing. Christ wants us to emulate this steward, not in his dishonesty, of course, but we are to emulate his drive, his foresight, his discernment. He had a goal, and he went to great lengths, willing to stop at nothing to attain his goal. You also have a goal. And it's not to retire at age 60, 65, or even 80. Your goal is heaven. So let nothing stand in your way of attaining that goal. Do not be lazy in your faith. Do not simply show up whenever you have time or feel like it. Do not simply study the word or pray if you have enough hours in your day. If the steward would have acted like this, he would have not fared so well. So why would we be any different? Your goal is heaven. Devote yourself to it. Strive for it. Run the race with purpose. Have the foresight and discernment and drive of this steward, willing to risk everything for the sake of your master's mercy. So listen to the word. Pray, eat, and drink. Let nothing hinder you. Let nothing keep you from your merciful master. But also, like this steward, recognize that everything depends not on you, but on your merciful master. He is willing to let you take advantage of him, which is to say, he wants you to hold him to his mercy. He will forgive you all your sins. He will give you the kingdom for free, without cost. He will bless and protect you. It seems foolish by worldly standards to give away such great riches for nothing to us wasteful stewards. How will we ever learn? It's wasteful by worldly standards, but not by God's standards, not to us who believe. For this free gift is God's glory and honor. This gift that he gives to us is the reason that we thank and praise him, for we have not earned or deserved it. He gives it solely because he is merciful. So ultimately, the steward's goal depended only on the master's mercy. Same for you. As much time and prayer, energy and devotion as you put into this goal, it still solely depends on your merciful master, who wants to give you the kingdom for free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.